So good morning, everyone. I'm Tony Lapine. I'm president of BPG. Have been for a couple of years. So today I'm going to be talking a lot of what I'm presenting today. For those of you who attended the June meeting, there are a lot of similarities, but there have been updates in a couple of locations. So bear with me. Well, this will be my agenda. I'll talk briefly about the board of directors, a little bit about the Canadian pension environment, but Rabia's covered all of that. I really only have one slide on that. I'll talk about our strategic plan and what we're doing and how it's going, briefly on BPG finances and what we're doing there, and then I'll open it up to questions. So this is the board of directors. It's no different than what I'd shared in the spring, but the only difference here is that this is the official board of directors, because at the spring meeting, the AGM, you vote for who's going to be on the board at the time. So this is the official lineup, and the executive and the officers, they're voted by the board of directors at the meeting after all the AGMs are done. So this confirms who's who in the organization. I'm not going to go through any names. What I will say, I did share this, I don't have a slide on it, but at the spring meeting, I did mention that there were four retirees, so to speak, from the organization. So Denis Marquis was the past president, he has left. Marjolaine Gilbert was the chair of the Quebec City chapter, and she has moved on and replaced by Yves Simard. Claude announced today that he's leaving, and Ron is stepping in, so thank you, Claude. And then Steve Longway, who is with the Ontario Southwest or Southwest Ontario chapter, has also moved on. So thank you to those individuals for all of their hard work, and some of them with long tenure. I believe Marjolaine was probably the longest serving chair of a chapter compared to any other person at the time. So briefly on the pension environment, this slide is something that I inherited, and I show here the biggest change being the B plus for Bell Financial, but I did this about a month ago. I put the plus sign there because BCE had sold Northwestel for $1 billion. They sold their share in Maple Leaf Sports for $4.5 billion, and they said they were going to knock down their debt. Also, at that time, the Moody's had downgraded BCE's credit rating to just above junk bond. So, surprise, surprise, with the announcement over the last week or 10 days ago, where they've purchased Ziply Fiber in the States, and have basically used up all of the money that they had will collect, I guess, with the sale of the other assets. So that B plus is probably going to disappear, may even become a B minus. But otherwise, as Rabah said, the plan funding is fantastic, so no worries there. The investment policy is very sound, as Rabah has explained. They look at liabilities and make sure that they're always beating the liabilities with the assets. Bankruptcy legislation, not much is happening there. There's been just recently, I believe it was September, there's a law passed a few years ago where the government has asked for comments on what's called a reserve solvency account, but it doesn't affect us, but they were asking for comments from pension plans and other interested parties to give them some advice in terms of what they think it should be, how it should be implemented. But the law has passed on that one anyways a few years ago. The pension legislation, the C-228 was passed a few years ago, so the government is working on having that fixed. That has more to do, I should say, that's bankruptcy legislation. It had nothing to do with pensions, although it does give pensioners sort of the prime spot in terms of being a creditor. The economy, well, that one remains to be seen, especially with the election in the U.S. and their statement that they're going to apply tariffs on everything that they import. So it remains to be seen how that will affect the economy. So I've left that as a D. I mean, the interest rates, you know, Bank of Canada is dropping the interest rates gradually, but that may change in the not too distant future. What I would like to do is to thank, we have two representatives on the PIC committee. So this year, brand new individual, Randy Marie Sloat, who is from the Ontario Central chapter. She's a brand new member on their board, and she put her hand up and said, I have some background, so I wouldn't mind being on the PIC team. So she was assigned or appointed to the PIC, and also to Michael Peacock. I don't know if Michael here is here today, but he's from the Ottawa chapter, and he's been involved in the past and will be the backup on the PIC team. But if I've talked about longevity, I must say that if the PIC report is out, so anybody who's interested, you can go to the Bell Benefits site and get a copy. It's always an interesting read if you're interested in that. The one status that, statistic I should say, that I would like to point out is, Rabat talked about longevity, so maybe it's a good thing that he has insurance. There are 43 people over the age of 100. And that compares to about, I think, 8 or 9 in the previous PIC report. So people are living longer, and that's great for them. So quickly on the strategic plan, what I've got here are the high-level objectives, obviously, to protect the pension promise and to attract new members. So those two are carryovers from previous plans, and I don't know that, I doubt that they'd ever disappear, because that is really our raison d'être. That's what we're about. Then what we had developed. This plan is next year is the last year for this plan, and we've accomplished quite a lot. So we want to look at our relevance. Are we relevant? How do we make sure we have a value proposition that appeals to all our members? Because we have expanded the eligibility criteria. We now have DB plan members who have at a minimum of 15 years service with Bell. We're more than happy to welcome them to BPG. So we need to develop a value proposition for them, rather than just protect the pension, because they are responsible for their own investments. And we're going to look at maybe, do we need to change the mandate? I doubt that we will, but that was something that was there that we would consider if need be, depending on what direction we would take. So the first disappointing news, I shared this, but a brief update on this. I think in the spring I said that we would ask the Canadian Federation of Pensioners to take this on, because I know Bell had approached Service Canada on our behalf, and Deanne Darchon, who's a member of this chapter, had also approached Service Canada, and both asking, is there an opportunity to either drop a pension plan that you, or not a pension plan, but a dental plan that you have, and take advantage of what the federal government were implementing. The answer came back as no, so we said, okay, well, maybe we should see if CFP would be willing to take this on. We approached them, and they said no, that their focus is going to be strictly DB plans, and so it really, there's not much more that we can do, other than if you are interested, then you can write a note to your member of parliament and to the minister of health. So this will be, we won't be pursuing this any further than what we've done. So again, it's been a busy year. The Rabaya touched on the 1998 adjustment. So that has been corrected or adjusted, I guess. Thank you, Rabaya, for doing that for on behalf of those pensioners. We had filed a statement of claim. It never did become a class action, but we had filed a statement of claim with the courts, And given that Bell were correcting the issue or making the adjustment, on June 28th of this year, our lawyers filed a discontinuance motion, and the judge quickly accepted it. Rabaya had prepared an affidavit to explain what they had done, and our two plaintiffs had filed affidavits stating that they were satisfied with the outcome of the adjustment. Rabaya shared some of the following statistics, but although the first one, we paid legal fees of $174,000. So as Rabaya indicated, no pensioners had to pay any legal fees in this case because the it was all done through OSFI. And so we, even though we were dealing with lawyers, we had to pay Koskiminski to make sure everything was done and closed. So non-members obviously are benefiting from this. So if you know of any friends or co-workers that you worked with who are not members, please encourage them to join. It would be great. So Rabaya touched on the payouts, 68 million to pensioner survivors, 2,900 estates, and a total of $84 million, which is no small amount. So thank you, Rabaya. And I must say, there were nasty notes between lawyers, but anytime I dealt with Rabaya, it was always very cordial and cooperative. And yes, he did meet with Denis Marquis and myself to share what they were going to present to OSFI. And I think Denis and I, we were having breakfast, and we looked at each other and said, yes, I think this, we're quite happy with the approach. There were a few little details that needed to be finalized, but very high level, I think 98% of the solution was already what Rabaya had presented and shared with us. Excuse me. So some of the accomplishments, the team introduced a travel insurance plan that the first year ended in at the end of May. Second year started, and I know that the insurance rate doubled for most people, but it's still a very good deal compared to what you can buy in the open market. And that's because it's the group that's insured, not the individual. So it's been really great. They have paid a lot of money. They have one case. I believe they're sitting at about $800,000 what they've paid out. So that is quite significant. We launched a new website in January. And as Claude touched on, there is a portal dedicated for members only, and you can go into that portal and you can look at information for your specific chapter, and you can look at other chapters also if you want to. It's open to all members, but you can also renew your membership online, and you can set it up so that it recurs every year if you want to through a company called Stripe, who are based in the US. Our treasurer was looking to see if there was Canadian companies that could do this for us, but he said not at the time. So right now we're dealing with Stripe. And just so you know, for assurances, we do not see or store any credit card information or any payment information. That's all done through Stripe. The adoption of QuickBooks online, different chapters were using different software accounting applications. Some were using QuickBooks, some were using Excel. Our national treasurer, who has a background, said we should be using a common platform. So the chapters have been moving their information over to QuickBooks Online. That's almost complete, except for, I'll say, the two largest chapters, Ontario Central and Montreal, are working hard to, they're almost 100% done. This will make the job easier and provide visibility to the National Treasurer on the status of the different chapters, and also make the National Treasurer's job easier when he's dealing with the accountants and doing the financial report at the end of the year. Because now he used to have to get 7 different reports, one from each chapter, and then he had to amalgamate them. QuickBooks will do all of that for him now. I believe that the BDO, the accountants, will have also have access to QuickBooks Online when they're doing the audit, so that should help. Also, many vacant positions. Last year, at the start of the year, we had 4 vacant positions. So thank you to Steve Longway, who was the chair of the nominations committee. He was able to fill 4 of those positions. So it's been really great. The volunteers worked, many, many hours, and Claude touched on, the fact that you can claim those hours for charity donations or credits towards charities. So thank you very much to all of the volunteers who worked extremely hard in bringing all of these things to fruition. There's one last item, I'm moving on to my scorecard here. The scorecard. So in terms of how are we doing with the PIC and CFP? Well, that is our pension promise. We stay involved with those organizations or the committees, and so that helps us keep on top of the pension plan. The 1998 indexation, as I stated, is now closed. The courts have closed that, so that's done. The other issue is that although there are check marks there, the check marks don't necessarily mean that we're done, but we are progressing extremely well. The one item left on our strategic plan was to canvas to the membership to see how well we are doing. So I've asked the board to start thinking about what we will do. So probably in the new year, you may be receiving a survey asking you what you think of what we're doing and what we could do better, or what new things we might be able to do. So just the last item here, the annual report. The BDO looked at it and looked at our stats for 1980, I'm in the wrong century here, 2023, and said that things are pretty good, although we did have an operational deficit, and that's because we had accrued for legal fees up to that point in time. So now that the legal fees have been paid, the lawyers, the finance committee are not dealing with, with the accountants, not the lawyers, are dealing with the accountants to make the adjustment and reflect that in the books going forward. The chair and the treasurer are speaking with BDO to discuss how to do that. So we will be starting probably early December to start working with BDO to complete the audit for 2024. That's all I have for today, so thank you. I will take questions at this point, if there are any. Yes, sir. You want to talk to Manulife or talk to someone at BPG?
Well,
both. Ron? Ron is, what was?
The power.
Yeah, he negotiated the details with Manulife. So maybe you can speak to him after the meeting.
Yeah,
thank you very much.